Well, Father, again, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the word that you have given to us. And we pray that as we pause now to think about the word that we heard read for us earlier, that you would speak to our hearts. We pray that you would work within us both to convict us, to bring us to repentance, and of course, Lord, to bring us to faith in Jesus who suffered and died, that we might have your grace and your mercy. And we ask this all in his name. Amen. Well, as we live in this world, shame is something that each and every one of us experience. Shame is something that we all feel from time to time. There are many points in life where, for whatever reason, we feel embarrassed, maybe we feel humiliated, and there's many different reasons that we might feel dishonored or even disgraced. Now, although it's uncomfortable, and although none of us enjoy it, shame, it's not always a bad thing. Embarrassment isn't always a bad thing, nor is humiliation. In fact, these can be good things. They can even be healthy things. If we've done something wrong, for example, if we've sinned against God, this sense of shame that we have within us, it is a good thing. It reveals to us, in fact, that God is still actively working in each and every one of our lives. He's working in our life to convict us, to show us our sin. He's working in our life to reveal to us both that sin, our guilt, and our need for his salvation. And he's also reaching out to us on a regular basis, on a daily basis, with the hope that we have in the gospel. As the Apostle Paul explains to us in 2 Corinthians 7, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." So when we feel bad about something we've done, when we feel shame for a sin that we have committed, it's that grief, Paul tells us, that leads us to repentance. It's that grief that leads us to turn away from our sin. And of course, this leads us to receive the gospel, to receive the forgiveness of sins and the salvation of God that are promised to us in his word. If we felt no shame when it was proper, this would reveal a problem. It would reveal a problem within us. It would reveal, in fact, that our heart is hardened. It would reveal to us that we don't have a relationship of faith when it comes to God. And it may even reveal to us that we are under his wrath rather than under his grace. However, that being said, although it can be a healthy thing, although it can be a good thing, shame is bad or shame is unhealthy when it's misplaced. And this is true for us more often than not. It's bad or unhealthy when we feel ashamed or when we're made to feel shame for something that we shouldn't. It's bad or it's unhealthy when we're ashamed or we're made to feel shame for something that is really minor, for something that is really quite trivial. You know, we might feel shame, for example, because our house isn't as big as everybody else's, or maybe because the decor isn't quite as updated. We just can't afford to go in and remodel as we would like. We might feel shame because we live in the wrong part of town, you know, the bad part of town, where nobody else wants to live. We might feel shame because we don't wear or perhaps we can't afford the latest and greatest in terms of brands and fashions when it comes to our clothing. We might feel shame because we aren't always receiving attention from the opposite sex like others. We might feel shame because we're not moving up the corporate ladder quite as quickly as others, especially those in our own age group. Or we may feel shame because we haven't been provided the opportunities that have been available to others over the course of the years. And we realize, when we stop and think about it, that this type of shame, it's misplaced, isn't it? We realize that these circumstances, they're really no reason for us to feel shame whatsoever, and we realize that making others feel shame for things like this, it's petty, to be quite frank. We understand that our intelligence, it's not defined by the degrees that we have hanging on our wall. We understand that our wealth, or that our worth, rather, is not defined by our annual salary or by the title that we hold. And we know that our significance is not determined by the location of our home or by our social status. Yet even knowing this, even realizing this, most of us, we continue to struggle with it. Even knowing this, we continue to live in it. And even knowing this, it's something that we too continue to impose upon others, upon those who surround us from day to day. Young people deal with this all the time. It's a pressure that they face each and every day at school and among their peers. I think it was bad enough when I went to school. And I think, you know, looking at things now, it's only gotten worse as time has marched on. And maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me that girls deal with this a lot more than boys. It hits them a lot harder anyway than the boys. But as adults, we tend to think that those who impose this sense of shame, they're mean, they're petty, right? We tend to think that those who impose this kind of shame, they're doing nothing more than bullying their peers. And of course, as adults, we want to do what we can to both encourage our kids in the face of it, and also to put a stop to this type of behavior when we see it going on. We would also like to think that as we age, we grow out of this, right? We like to think that as we mature, we don't feel unnecessary shame as we once did. But in reality, this is something with which mature adults both can and do struggle. For example, we might be reluctant to go to our high school reunion because we don't feel as successful as others, and we don't want to face the questions that we know are going to be asked when we put ourselves in that type of a setting. We may not want to admit to others what it is that we do for a living because in our mind it seems insignificant, especially in comparison to others and to what they do. We may not want to admit to other people where we live because, again, it seems humiliating to us because it seems to reveal that we simply do not measure up to where other people are. Now, this sense of shame that we often experience, it's felt not only when it comes to our financial situation. It's something that's felt not only when it comes to our social status. This is something that is felt, it's something that is experienced also when it comes to our faith. Many of us, young and old alike, we struggle with shame when it comes to the expression of our faith. And what I mean is that we are ashamed to admit before others that we are, in fact, Christian. What I mean is that we are ashamed to admit before others what it is that we believe. And what I mean is that we're ashamed to live out before others the faith that we confess here, especially as we gather together on Sunday morning. We're ashamed to share with others that Jesus is the only way of salvation, and we're ashamed to do so because we realize it's believed by most, by so many in our society today, to be hateful and to be exclusive. We're ashamed to speak of truth as it's revealed to us in Scripture, knowing that it's considered by so many today to be bigoted and to be judgmental, and we're ashamed to be seen as somebody who goes to church, as somebody who reads their Bible, because we know that we'll be thought of as nothing more than a religious fanatic by those who surround us. But once again, this is nothing more than a false sense of shame. It's nothing for which we should be embarrassed. It's nothing for which we should be humiliated. When we truly stop and consider what it is that we believe, we know that this is nothing of which we should be ashamed. And this is something that Paul lays out for us in that short scripture lesson that I read for you a little while ago. And again, exclusively for Confirmation Sunday. But again, in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, here is what Paul says. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now Paul, he makes this statement as he's expressing his desire to travel to Rome. He makes this statement as he expresses his desire to go and to be a blessing to the believers who reside in the city of Rome, and to do so with the gifts that God had given to him. And he does so as he expresses his desire to go and to specifically proclaim the gospel to the people of that city. And Paul tells them that he is not ashamed of the gospel. He tells them that he is not embarrassed by it. He's not humiliated by it. And the reason that he is not ashamed of the gospel is because of its power. The reason he is not ashamed of the gospel is because of the effect that it has upon those who hear it. The gospel, he says, is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And I think all of you understand what Paul means when he makes that statement. He's telling us that it's by the gospel. He's telling us that it's through the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are saved. The gospel, as most of you know, it's good news. That's what that word means. It means good news. And what makes the gospel good news is because of what it reveals to us. The gospel reveals to us what God has done for us. It reveals what God has done for us to provide for us both his forgiveness and ultimately his salvation. The gospel, as most of you know, it tells us that even though we are sinners, God loves us. The gospel tells us that even though we are guilty, and even though we deserve nothing other than the wrath and the judgment of God, he still desires our salvation. And it tells us that God sent Jesus, that he sent his only son into the world that he might accomplish just that. God sent Jesus into the world as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. In other words, God sent Jesus into the world that he might satisfy his justice and his righteousness. He sent Jesus to pay the penalty of our sin, that rather than receiving the penalty that we deserve, we might instead receive his mercy. And it's by believing this message that we are saved. It's by trusting in this promise that God has spoken to us that we are forgiven. It's by faith in the Lord, it's by faith in his promise that we are enabled to receive this blessing that Jesus has made possible for us. Now, Paul lays this out a little more clearly in Romans chapter 10. So I'm going to jump ahead for just a little bit here. And this is one we've shared and talked about before, but it's so crucial as we consider the effect of the gospel. But in Romans 10, starting in verse 13, Paul writes this: "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" So Paul, he starts out in this section quoting from the second chapter of Joel, and he tells us that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. In other words, there is no distinction, right? There's no qualification as to who will receive it and who won't receive it. The salvation of God will be received by everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord. But he then goes on to ask a series of rhetorical questions. And these questions, they once again reveal to us the power of the gospel. He asks, first of all, how they will call on him in whom they have not believed. And as we read that question, as we think about that question, the answer is absolutely plain. No one is going to call upon the Lord for salvation if they have not first believed in him, right? If they have not first trusted in him. He then goes on to ask how they will believe in him of whom they have never heard. And again, the answer to this question is quite obvious. No one will believe in Jesus if they haven't first heard of him. And finally, he asks how they will hear of him without someone preaching. And again, the answer to this question is equally clear. No one can hear of Jesus unless somebody first tells them of Jesus. No one can hear of Jesus unless somebody preaches to them. And so again, it says someone preaches to us the message of the gospel, that we are enabled to hear. It's as we hear the gospel that we're enabled to believe, and it's as we believe in the gospel that we are enabled to call upon the name of the Lord, to call upon the name of Jesus, and to receive the salvation that he has provided for us. And then in verse 17, Paul goes on to add this, so faith comes from hearing, hearing through the word of Christ. The word of Christ is the gospel, right? So in other words, we come to faith in Christ by hearing the gospel. We come to faith in Jesus through the word of Christ. And it's by this faith that we are saved. It's by this faith that we receive the grace of God. It's by this faith that we receive the forgiveness of sins and that blessing of everlasting life in the presence of God. Now, Paul explains it just a little bit differently in verse 17 of our lesson for this morning. And in that verse, he says this, for in it, referring to the gospel, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So the gospel, he says, is revealed from faith for faith. It's revealed beginning and ending in faith. It's a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. It's a righteousness that's both created by faith and also received by faith. So Scripture, it's absolutely clear that we don't possess any sort of inherent righteousness. It's clear that we do not enter into the world as innocent. It reveals to us that we are not the good people that we often believe ourselves to be. And it's clear that we are unable to become righteous by the things that we do. We're unable to become righteous by our obedience to the law of God, and we're unable to become righteousness by loving our neighbor as God has called us. According to Paul, we are made righteous by our faith in the gospel. We are made righteous by our faith in the message of Jesus, which has been given to us. Righteousness is a gift of God that is provided to us by the gospel and that is received by faith. And it's in this way that we receive life. Quoting from the second chapter of Habakkuk, he tells us that the righteous shall live by faith. Or another translation is that the one who by faith is righteous shall live. So in this way, you see, the gospel is the power of God. In this way, the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And for this reason, it's something of which we should never, ever be ashamed. After all, why would we be ashamed of the message by which we receive life and salvation? Why would we be ashamed of the message by which we receive the grace and the mercy of God? And why would we be ashamed of the message that provides the same blessing to everyone who hears it and who believes it and who calls upon the name of the Lord? When we look at it in this light, it's absolutely clear that our shame, it makes no sense. It's clear that the embarrassment that we often feel when it comes to our faith, that it's false. That again, it's a false sense of shame. And more than that, it's something that's detrimental to both our faith and also to the ministry that God has entrusted to us as a church, but also as individual believers in Jesus. Because it's the power of God for salvation, Paul, speaking for him, he boldly proclaimed the message of the gospel no matter what people thought of it. He boldly went out and he proclaimed the message of the gospel no matter what people thought of him, and he boldly proclaimed the message of the gospel no matter what it meant for him. As we read through the book of Acts, we see just that. We see what it meant for Paul. We see that the proclamation of the gospel led him to endure a great deal for his newfound faith and also for the ministry that God gave to him. We see that the Jews in Damascus, immediately after his conversion, they plotted to kill him. He escaped with the help of the believers in that city, and he went to Jerusalem. But then as soon as he got to Jerusalem, people wanted to kill him there too. So they shipped him off again. They shipped him off to his hometown of Tarsus. And throughout his ministry, we see that he faced this continual opposition. He was beaten. He was arrested. Several attempts were made upon his life. And although we don't find it recorded in Scripture, we do read in history that Paul quite literally went to his death for his faith in Christ. It tells us that he was beheaded for both his faith and for his ministry. And again, no one would endure such things unless there was a good reason to do so, right? And for Paul, the gospel was the reason that he endured it. He endured it because the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Now, again, we don't even need to state it because we all know none of us, we like being hated. None of us enjoy rejection. And none of us enjoy suffering. However, realizing that the gospel is the power of God for our salvation, realizing that it's the power of God for the salvation of all who believe, it leads us to both share our faith with others and also to live it out before them. And it leads us to do so regardless of the reaction that we face from the world around us. Knowing that God has saved us, knowing from what he has saved us, we want nothing more than to see others receive this same blessing as well. Knowing that Jesus died not only for us, but for all mankind, not only do we want to receive the benefits of that sacrifice, but we want others to receive the benefits of that sacrifice as well. And knowing that this blessing is received through faith in Jesus, we want nothing more than to share that message, to share the gospel with those who don't yet know him. And we want to do so no matter what it means for us. We want to do so even if it means being the outcast. We want to do so even if it means being hated and facing ridicule from those who surround us from day to day. And we want to do so even if it leads to suffering. We want to do so no matter what it means for us because we share the heart of God who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We want to do so because we share the heart of God who has called us to go out and to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, to make disciples of all nations. And we desire their salvation more than anything else because we value their precious eternal souls more than anything that this world has to offer to us. We desire their salvation more than wealth. We desire their salvation more than worldly comfort. We desire their salvation more than success in the eyes of this world. We desire their salvation more than the opportunities that are afforded by the world in which we live. And we desire their salvation more than we desire any type of peace that this world has to offer us. After all, any blessing that this world has to offer, it's only temporary. And this is true not only of the things of this life, this is something that is true of this life itself. It's all fleeting. It's all very short-lived. It's just a drop in the bucket. And no matter what happens to us in terms of this world, the fact of the matter is that we are saved, right? Regardless of the loss that we face in this life, we are saved. Regardless of the pain that we endure, whether it be physical or mental or spiritual, we are saved. And we are saved because nobody in this world can take from the blessing that God has provided for us in his Son Jesus. Salvation is the gift of God which is received by faith. And so long as we have faith in Christ, this blessing is ours. So long as we have faith in Christ, we are secure. We are absolutely secure in this blessing that he has provided to us. So as we think this morning about this passage, as we think about the words of Paul, let us ask ourselves, are we ashamed of our faith? Are we ashamed of this gospel that we confess here each Sunday morning? Do we allow the unbelievers who surround us from day to day in this life to fill us with a sense of shame because of our trust in Jesus? And if so, we must realize that this is nothing more than a false sense of shame. We must realize that it's nothing for which we should be rightfully ashamed. And for this reason, we should repent of this. And we should do so because after all, the gospel is the power of God for our salvation and for the salvation of all who believe. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you again for this great blessing that you have given to us, the blessing of the gospel. We know, Lord, that without this message, we would be completely lost. And we would be lost because we would know nothing of Jesus. We would know nothing of what he has done for us, nor would we be able to place our faith in him. So we thank you for this message. We pray, Lord, that you would strip away from us any sense of shame that we have felt, and that you would also forgive us for it. And we pray that you would fill us with your strength and with your boldness so that we would carry this message out to others, that they might also receive the same blessing that we have received. Help us to realize, Lord, that everything in this life, everything that could be taken away from us in this life, it's meaningless. And that's especially true when compared to the blessings that you have both promised and provided for us in your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.